You're listening to Goldblatt Career, your podcast for helping you sort things out. In this episode, you will learn about value investing for complete beginners without any prior understanding of this strategy. So stay tuned until the end and learn how you can start value investing and join many other investors that are benefiting from this strategy. Value investing, as its name suggests, focuses on investing in stocks that are valuable. It involves picking stocks that appear to be trading for less than their true or intrinsic value. In other words, the stock is undervalued in the market, making them a bargain. So, value investors quickly grab this opportunity to buy and hold them, waiting until they reach their true value and selling them thereafter, gaining considerable profits. Value investing was popularized by Benjamin Graham's book, The Intelligent Investor, which greatly influenced Warren Buffett, which, as you probably know, is one of the most influential value investors. It's far better to buy a wonderful company at a fair price than a fair company at a wonderful price. So instead of buying stocks from overvalued companies, focus on great companies that sell at an undervalued price. Okay, so before getting into how to actually identify when a stock is undervalued, let's go through three investment tips that American billionaire Ray Dalio, owner of one of the largest hedge funds in the world as of today, suggests following. Number 1. Think about your savings. Think about how much money you are spending each month and how much is left as savings at the end of the month after covering all your expenses, including debt. Afterwards, you need to know how much of that leftover money you are comfortable to start investing with. If you do not have much savings, start tracking all your expenses every month to help you reduce them. Or you can try to increase your income. It is important to mention that you do not fall into lifestyle inflation, increasing spending when your income goes up, which is what most people usually do, since it seems logical to increase your well-being. Number 2. Understand that the least risky investment is holding cash. This is the worst investment you can make, since inflation erodes the value of money over time. If you hold $10,000 in cash with an average inflation rate of 2% per year, you're losing $200 per year. This is because prices of goods and services increase over time, which means that you're losing purchasing power. That's why you need to at least beat the rate of inflation. And you do this by investing your money into assets that are going to do better over time and diversify well to minimize possible losses. Your money invested should be money that you don't really need. I mean, it's great to have spare money, of course, but rather than keeping it as cash in your bank account losing value over time, decide how much you can afford to invest. Don't start investing all of your savings when you need them. Invest the amount that you think is adequate. Since this varies for everyone, always have an emergency fund in your bank account. Money saved up only to be used in absolute emergencies. In short, it's best to have three different bank accounts: a general expenses account, an emergency fund account, and an account for money used to invest. This helps you psychologically to use money for its main purpose, rather than having all the money kept in one account and used for everything. Number 3. Do the opposite of what everyone else does. This is the opposite of the herd mentality. Buy when nobody else wants to buy and sell when nobody else wants to sell. Most people panic seeing red numbers of stocks going down, so they immediately sell. A big mistake in most cases, since they're letting their emotions get hold of their rational behavior, when shortly afterwards, the stock may increase again in value, but They would have sold it cheap to someone who knew this was going to happen, and therefore incurred in an unnecessary loss. Behavior plays a huge role in your decisions, which is why behavioral economics has won several Nobel Prizes along the way. When a specific investor sees a specific stock price going up, they quickly buy to avoid missing out. Similarly, when the overall market is declining, people are compelled to sell their stocks instead of waiting until the market changes direction. They accept a certain loss by selling. This happens on a daily basis and affects the overall stock market trends. Okay, so after these three tips, save money, use money to invest, and don't follow the herd, how do you actually value when a stock is undervalued? Let's say that you decide to buy a new phone, since you think your phone's getting a little old. So you go to the shop and think you've found a great deal and purchase a new phone. A few days later, while you're enjoying your new phone, you see an ad of that same phone on sale, with a 20% discount. What do? Maybe curse a little. But then you realize that there's no going back, and so you close the ad and eliminate the thought from your consciousness. That same phone, on sale or not, probably has the same qualities. So you could consider that phone on sale as an undervalued asset. In the stock market, something quite similar occurs. A company's stock price can change in value, even though the intrinsic value of the company has remained the same. Just as a phone can go through periods of high and low demand, leading to price fluctuations, stocks also go through the same. Value investing is the process of doing detective work to find these secret sales on stocks and buy them at a discount compared to how the market values them. In return for buying and holding these stocks, investors gain a considerable profit in the long term. Okay, so how do you measure the intrinsic value of a stock? Investors use different types of metrics to find the intrinsic value of a stock. There are two main types: financial analysis, that is studying a company's financial performance, revenue, earnings, cash flow, and profit, and the fundamental factors, the company's brand, business model, target market, and competitive advantage. So, without being too technical, we can summarize the most common metrics in three. Price to earnings ratio. It basically compares a company's share price to its earnings per share. So a high price to earnings ratio means that a company's stock is overvalued or that it is expecting high growth in the future, while a low ratio means that the stock is undervalued or expecting low growth in the future. The second one is the price to book ratio. It measures the value of a company's assets and compares them to the stock price. If the stock price is lower than the value of the assets, the stock is undervalued, assuming that the financial health of the company is strong. And the third one is free cash flow. This is money generated from a company after the expenses have been covered. This leftover money will be used to reinvest in the company or pay dividends to the shareholders. There are lots of other metrics such as analyzing debt, equity, and revenue, but these are the main ones in which you, as a value investor, can decide to buy undervalued stocks. Take for instance the dot-com bubble in the early 2000s, an era of companies linked to the new sector of the internet. People thought that all companies were valuable since they were way more productive. More could be done in less time. Investors quickly started buying stocks. However, as all the companies had the same system, they were competing against each other. They were extremely overvalued and the bubble burst, causing the stock prices to fall drastically, with trillions of dollars vanishing overnight. This is an extreme example of a herd mentality. The margin of safety. Value investors try to set what's known as a margin of safety, which is one of the keys to successful value investing. It is based on the premise that buying stocks at bargain prices give you a better chance to earning a profit when you sell them, as well as making you less likely to lose money if the stock doesn't perform as well as you had expected. So if a stock is worth $100 and you buy it for $60, you'll make a $40 profit by simply waiting until the stock reaches its true value. On top of that, the company might grow and become more valuable, giving you a chance to make even more money. So it reaches a value of $120, making you a profit of $60. While if you purchase the stock at its market price of $100, you would simply have made $20 instead of $60. Benjamin Graham, the father of value investing, only bought stocks when they were priced at 2/3 or less of their intrinsic value. So if a stock has a market price of $66, but you think it's worth $100, you should buy it. The key is to hold the stocks for the long term until they are worth their true value or above. This is a different strategy from instant gratification of buying and selling on a daily basis. In value investing, you cannot expect to buy for $50 and sell it for $100 in a few days. You might have to wait a long time. But this is good news, since long-term capital gains are taxed lower than short-term investment gains. Instead of investing irrationally based on trends or emotions, analyze the company first to figure out if it's worth investing in. Many times the most undervalued stocks are not in big companies such as Facebook, Apple, and Google. Since most people buy these stocks just because of a herd mentality, they usually reside in smaller or medium-sized companies that increase in value over time. But people find them boring, since they need constant, instant gratification. Studies have consistently found that value stocks outperform the market as a whole over the long term. Some people even do what's called couch potato value investing, a long-term passive investment strategy that buys a few stocks that other successful investors hold, such as Warren Buffett's holding company Berkshire Hathaway, which owns a dozen of companies that he himself has researched and evaluated. Well, he's also one of the richest men in the world, so he must be doing something right. Okay, so a quick overview. Value investing is a long-term strategy. Instead of focusing on the market price of a stock, focus on the intrinsic or true value of the stock, using a financial and fundamental analysis of the company. As a value investor, you do not want to follow the herd mentality. Buy when no one wants to buy and sell when no one wants to sell. Do not let your emotions get hold of your rational decisions. Buy and hold the stock. Diversify your stocks in different companies with different sectors that have undervalued stocks. Rely on your margin of safety. Stocks purchased at a bargain will eventually reach their true value and may profit even further. Share with your friends and family if you found this useful. Thanks for listening. Until next time.